Father God, we are honored and privileged again to be here this evening to hear about the work of United Indian Missions. And we're so thankful that there are people who are willing to dedicate their lives, and not just financially, not just through prayer, but also their lives to go out on the mission field and talk to these people who have not heard about your son. And we are just thankful for the work there, and the fact that local churches can be planted and pastors raised up, that where local nationals can speak to their own people. Father, thank you for this time. We ask that you sanctify it to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of quick announcements.
Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation. Jesus came down to bring me salvation. Lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Yes, for eternity.
I was so caught up in all of the beautiful music that I was listening to as we were here earlier and singing along with it, that I kind of got dry there in the middle of the song where I should have been concentrating on all my own. Thank you, by the way, for that beautiful rendition of Closer Walk with Thee. That's one of my probably most favorite pieces. Matter of fact, I think after hearing that rendition, I'll make it my favorite piece. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy the music here. I really do. Elaine and I, for years and years and years, have been in choirs and have sung And to hear the singing that goes on here and to hear the music that's played here is just really a true joy. Well, tonight I'm supposed to tell you something about UIM, which is short for UIM International, which is our trade name. Our actual name is United Indian Missions Incorporated. We are a denominationally unaffiliated faith mission. Great big sentence, meaning simply that we go out and seek our own support. United Indian Missions ministers to the Indians of the North Americas. That's Mexico, Canada, and these United States. We are both international and home missions because we are actually covering three countries. And yet, our biggest emphasis is in home missions, on the reservations, res, as they call it today. Now, they didn't do that when I was out on the reservation, but I understand now that the younger folk have started, in the vernacular of the young, to call it the res. So the res that Elaine and I happen to be a part of is the Hualapai Reservation, which is at Peach Springs, Arizona. And we served there off and on for about a year and a half, traveling from Flagstaff down to Peach Springs every Sunday, holding two services, and then traveling back to Flagstaff. Got to be kind of tiring after a while, as you can imagine. UIM is, as Kurt said this morning, a church planting organization. That is our major focus. However, we're not limited to that, and we should not be. We are into evangelism, discipling, raising up native pastors, hopefully turning over to those that we raise up a church that they can begin pastoring. UIM had its beginnings back in April of 1956 on the Navajo, in the area of the Navajo Reservation, which is the largest existing reservation yet today. It began among three white families and a trader who was, I guess, familiarly called Daddy. Well, say it out loud. My mind just lost it. I'm having a senior moment up here. Daddy Vanderwagen. Daddy Vanderwagen had this desire for many and many years because he could see many people lost. Being a barn one himself, he wanted to have the opportunity to bring to his people, because he thought of the Indian folk as his people, and he wanted to bring to them the word of the Lord. So he and three other families got together and formed what was to become UIM. In the process of this, many changes, of course, took place. We're coming up on to 45 years in the ministry here pretty soon. And one of the first of the three families, Don and Donna Fredericks, became the second general director of UIM. Just 2 years ago, Don and his wife retired from that active position and went into a state called Director Emeritus. Now, will somebody please explain to me what Director Emeritus is? It's an honorary name, if I understand it correctly. But this man hasn't slowed down one instant. He still is the busiest man I have ever been acquainted with. He travels all over these United States, speaking constantly, holding seminars, trying to bring ministering people into UIM and to bring new ministries into UIM. So he's constantly on the go. His wife, I think, is going to put a ball and chain on him so she can hold him down, because they've been doing this now for well over, they're in 50 years of ministry now, I think. Anyway, UIM has gone through many changes, as I stated earlier. And along with those, we brought in 5 small missions. So we grew from 3 to now where we have over 100 missionary families, which is pretty good size for a home mission here in these United States. While church planting and evangelism are our primary goals, we have other ministries as well, and I'll just quickly go through them. We have an aviation ministry. We have administrative ministries. We have Bible camps, 3 of them now, 1 in each country. Broken Arrow Bible Ranch, which is in Vanderwagon, New Mexico. Rock Nest Ranch, which was up in Canada. And then Alpha and Omega, which just opened up a little over a year ago down in Mexico. We have literature, booklets of all sorts. We do translation work, Spanish, Chatino, and I think they're into yeah, that's right, Havasupai. They have correspondence studies, they have urban ministries, technical services, which Elaine and I happen to be a part of. They have a CDC, which is a Christian Discipleship Center, dealing with alcoholics, Native alcoholics. Now, the Native American, the Indian, the First American, what's the other name? Can't think of it right now. We're still Indian. Are all eligible to go to this thing, but we have a problem getting them in there since it's only men at this particular center. We're hoping to open up sometime in the future a woman's center as well, but we have to find a place for that. We have to find people to undergird that and to do the work of that type of a ministry. We have a Bible school which will be turned over to indigenous persons, hopefully this year. UIM has undergirded it off and on for some 20 years. But they think now that we finally reached the point where we might, and that's a big word at this particular time for us, we might be able to turn it over to the native folks themselves, where it'll be under their own jurisdiction, under their own teachers, under their own board of directors. Hopefully that will come about. Elaine and I went into UIM 1981, November of 1981, as a matter of fact, and we're still serving with UIM. But I started out in the print shop, doing everything that goes along with a print shop, till I had a chemical accident that affected my lungs. It took me out of that. I was also in audio visuals. Now I'm in a finance office. I couldn't even spell computer, now I use one. not really. But it just shows you how God uses everything that you've ever learned and then teaches you things that you never thought of or dreamed of. God never puts you into a position that he does not equip you for. I went into missions. Well, I went into service for the Lord on a complete and total full-time basis in August of 1977. I was 50 years of age. Played my last softball game at 50 years of age, too. Just a little sideline. People want to know about Elaine and me. We are now two of the oldest folk in UIM. There are a couple more families yet that are still older than we are about the same age as we are. And they ask, well, why are you still with UIM? Why are you still active in the Lord's ministry? Well, I've read the Bible through so many times, I couldn't tell you how many. And I can't find one word in there that says I can retire. Now, I've retired from the military after 22 years. I've retired, as far as IRS is concerned, from UIM. But they won't let me go, and I don't want to go. So I'm still working in what they call a semi-retired position and situation. Well, when people hear that I've spent a career in the military, they want to know what branch. Well, I'll make it easy for you. I did all of them but the Coast Guard. Now, that brings up a real situation. That brings up a situation that says, oh, what's this guy? Why would he be in so many different branches of service? Don't ask me. I don't really know. It just happened that way. I went into the Navy in 1945, served during World War II, got out, met my lovely bride, married her, and because at that time I had no trade, and it wasn't because I wouldn't work, but I just couldn't hold a job. They kept laying me off. And I got disgusted and went back into service. And thus, finally ended up 22 years of service. During that time, during the time in the military, in, I think it was August of 1945, I was on the island of Guam. The war was over as far as the actual conflict of the war was concerned, but the Japanese on Guam didn't know that. As a matter of fact, the last one gave up, I think, about 4 years ago. That's a long time to fight a war. But anyway, we had some problems, and the 127th CB outfit that I was in was conscripted in a time of war. The government can conscript, and so they did. They conscripted us and they put us into the 3rd Marine Battalion. Now I've been in the Navy, the Seabees, and the 3rd Marine Battalion. Well, the war is over. I go home, I meet Elaine, I get married, and we decide that we need to have a life that isn't so chaotic, so I go back into service. I go back into the Army Air Force. The Army Air Force changes into the Army, and from the Army Air Force into the Air Force. So we were allowed to transfer, if we wanted to, into the regular Air Force. So I went into the regular Air Force. I figured I'd have a better chance for advancement if I did that. While I was in the regular Air Force, I'm shipped to Tokyo, Japan to serve on the Stars and Stripes because by now I've learned a trade. And so they put me into that an Army uniform because that's under the Army. So I bounced all around over the services. It's a long story, very involved, very technical if we really wanted to get into it. But we're not here to talk about my Army career. We're here to talk about my career for the Lord. And that's what I think of it as, a career for the Lord. It's not something that I'm going to retire from unless the Lord retires me. It's not something I want to retire from unless the Lord retires me. Elaine said I ought to tell people why I'm so enthused about the Lord. And I have to do that, I have to go back to my birth. Now, I was born in the normal fashion, but I wasn't normal when I was born. I was born clinically dead. I had the umbilical cord wrapped around my throat, and I was so blue I had started turning black. The doctor worked on me, massaging me, fooling with me, popping me on the bottom, etc., 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 for something around 3 hours. And finally, I think he must have got disgusted because he laid me on the flat of his hand, and he hit me so hard on the bottom that he knocked me over the table that he had been working on me there, clear over onto, fortunately, my mother's bed. And evidently that jarred me because I came awake. And my mother told me that I really let him know that I was fed up with all that was going on. Well, life is strange. But I figured if God wanted me here that badly, there must have been a reason. And finally I found it in 1981 when I came into United Indian Missions and became a missionary. It's a love that will not die. You better get up here. You don't have but about 15 minutes.
He didn't tell you that not only was he almost born dead, but he has been almost dead several times since then. But the Lord, every time, has brought him to a position where he could serve him. And I didn't help much. He wanted to serve the Lord a long time before he came into United Indian Missions. He told me that the Lord had been talking to him for some time, that he felt that the Lord was calling him into what people say is full-time service. And he said, I really would like to do that. And I said, that's nice. It's nice that you want to serve the Lord, and I just assumed you'd do it right here where we are, because I have not been called. He has not called me into serving him full time. And I told him that several times when he would bring this up. So finally he had just given up, because he figured that if I wouldn't go with him, it wasn't for him to go alone. Well, the Lord did allowed a lot to happen to me. He had to put me flat on my back where I couldn't walk. I couldn't use my right arm. And I couldn't take care of myself. And my daughter and Haven took care of me. And all the time that I was laying in that bed, taking every kind of drug imaginable that they could give me to stop my pain until I was just about a vegetable. And I said, Lord, if you want me to do something for you and not go on living this way, you're going to have to tell me. Well, he didn't. He didn't say a word. And we had to move out of our house so I could have a swimming pool and a jacuzzi and all the things that the doctor ordered. And gradually, after almost 6 months of intensive swimming and exercise and therapy, I could walk 20 blocks. I couldn't walk a half a block when the therapy started. I was teaching a Bible study of girls who had broken homes. They were drug addicts. They were alcoholics. They didn't, any of them, have a happy marriage. Some of them weren't even living with their husbands. And I said, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? If it is, I'm glad to do it. But if there's anything else, I wish you would tell me, because Haven still would really like to work for you. Well, the church where we went to had a man who had retired from the mission, and he was always talking about missions. I mean, every time Haven and I was around him, he was always talking about being on the mission field and all the things, and he and Haven would go crazy talking about the things they had done, laughing so hard sometimes they almost fell off the divan. And I thought, I don't understand this, but I'm glad that they enjoy each other. So we had a parsonage at our church, and we had a young couple there who were taking care of the grounds and doing all sorts of things, and he worked for Honeywell, and they had 7 kids in a 2-bedroom apartment. And they didn't exactly keep it well. So they decided that they were going to move. Honeywell was sending him to Minnesota. And when we went in there, it was unbelievable what the apartment was like. So I asked my young women if they would come and help me clean it up. I still wasn't too good at scrubbing and doing things like that because my arm was still bad, but I could walk very well. Anyway, they said, sure, we'll come and clean it up. And so we went there, and we started in scrubbing. And the smell would have asphyxiated you if we hadn't had a swamp cooler that was taking the smell out. And so I was walking around watching, doing what little I could, and I could hear the girls singing and just really enjoying themselves cleaning that apartment. And they were talking about, wonder who's going to move here when we get it all cleaned up. And I said, whoever God wants, I guess. And I walked in the living room and I looked down, and there was a corner that was so dirty that it was unreal. And I said, somebody bring me a bucket and a scrub brush. I think I can sit down there and clean that corner. So they brought me they brought me all these things, and I sat down, and I was just scrubbing away, and we were all singing, having the best of the time. And all of a sudden, the whole apartment was so quiet that you could have heard a pin drop. And I thought, wonder what's going on. I mean, they're never that quiet. Not a sound in there. And all of a sudden, the Lord said to me, you know, this morning, Haven said that the Lord doesn't speak to you audibly. Well, he didn't speak to me audibly, but he sure did in my head. He said, you better clean this corner good because you're going to be living here. I thought, oh no, not me. Not in these two little rooms. And all this dirt. Oh, I'm just imagining things. And so I went on scrubbing. Still was quiet in there. He said again, you had better clean this place good because you're going to be living here. And I said, Lord, is that my call that Haven's been telling me about? Because if it is, I'm willing. And I was so excited, and I wanted to tell somebody, but I didn't want to tell the girls before I did Haven. So I thought, I'll go home and I'll call him. And I thought, he'll think I'm crazy. No point in saying that. So I went home and I tried to take my usual afternoon nap, and I couldn't because I was so excited. And Haven came home for supper, and I'll tell him now. I just couldn't get it out. I couldn't say, the Lord told me today we're going to be living in that apartment. And what could he have us to do? So he said, well, it's Wednesday night. Let's go to prayer meeting. And we got ready. We left. We were driving. We had this big white Cadillac, and I just loved that car. And he was just driving along, and usual, he's singing his own words to whatever was in his mind. And I just blurted it out. Honey, the Lord told me today that we're going to move to Valley Bible and live in that apartment. And he almost wrecked us. He said, what? And he jerked the car and he went along and he said, are you kidding me? And I said, I'm not kidding you. And I told him what happened. And he said, you really felt that he called you to go to Valley Bible and work? I said, yes. He says, that means I have to give up my job. And I said, yes. He said, you think we can do that? I said, if the Lord says so, we can do it. We went to church and he said, can I tell Pastor Hawkins? And he went and told Pastor Hawkins. That was our pastor at the time who had been the missionary. And Pastor Hawkins says, oh, praise the Lord. That's just what I wanted, you to move in and be my helper, my assistant, my second hand, my right hand, all these things he wanted Haven to do. And you know, Haven went in the next day and he gave his notice at his job. And we moved to Valley Bible and we lived in that little apartment. And we had the most delightful time serving the Lord there. We thought that the Lord had put us there for the rest of our lives because do you know that the young people in that church thought that our apartment was their place away from home? They were in and out all the time. Those girls came, their husbands came, and every one of those girls has got a home that you wouldn't believe. They love the Lord, and their husbands love the Lord. There's only one girl who did not go back to her husband in all those girls that we had in that class. We know that the Lord sent us there for a purpose. And we were having such a great time. And we went to the IFCA convention in California. And John MacArthur said, you are supposed to be in missions. And he did that, and he did that. And do you know that when we came away from there, Haven was on one side of the room, I was on the other, and he said, what did John MacArthur say tonight? And I said, he said, we were supposed to be in missions. And he said, did you feel that too? And I said, yes. And we went home and told those girls, and they just nearly died. They said, you cannot leave us. You cannot. We said, the Lord has called us to go into missions. And he did. And we went with UIM. Well, of course, we applied to some other missions, and they all asked us to come. But UIM was first, and Don Fredericks was a personal friend, and we figured that the Lord wanted us there. He now is using us in the finance office. That is something I have been doing ever since I was 17 years old, talking about what God uses. He has used everything that I have ever learned in his ministry. And I think Haven's telling me I've talked too long, which he usually does. And I want him to let us sing again.
Well, let me wrap it up right quick for us, because she's leaving a lot out. And with only 45 minutes, you can't take and tell everything. But I moved from a $15,000 a year job to my retirement, which at that time was almost $300. And we lived for 5 years on $300 serving the Lord. Another thing she didn't tell you was that the Pastor Hawkins and his wife Cecil had prayed for 7 years that Elaine and I would become missionaries.
And didn't tell us.
In November of 1981, we submitted our and were accepted into UIM. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. And a miracle, it's written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells me of his power and wisdom all the way through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle of amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace.
Tell you one more thing. When we were at the working on the Hualapai reservation, they asked us to come and sing, and because we had been singing a lot at other places, and when we got there, they had this piano player, Rupert Parker. He had once been the chairman of that tribal chairman, but he was a Christian, and he played the piano, and he played it like a tom-tom. Every song is the tom-tom. So Haven says, we can't sing to that. And I said, well, we've been fooling around with this a cappella stuff, why don't we try? And we sang, and they loved it. Every time we'd go, they'd say, please sing a cappella. And we did that for them. terrible times, and we love doing it for them, and that's why we sing a cappella.
I think the easiest way to dismiss us tonight is not to dismiss us in prayer, but rather to dismiss us with an admonishment. You know, a successful marriage is one where you fall in love many times with the same person. And I'd like to add to you gentlemen, if you treat your wife as a bride all your married life, or you'll have so many less problems. It's been a joy to be here. You are dismissed.